Okay.
So I don't have any additional slides for this portion of the meeting. I was prepared to go into a little more background if any members of the public did show up. I don't necessarily feel like I need to do that for you again. So as I mentioned in the work session, based on the discussion of implementing House Bill 2001 now with the code update, the revised timeline that we went through has been incorporated into the new draft community engagement plan. So this version of the timeline does not show the shadowed in original bars. It's just the revised as discussed. And the only other change I made in the community engagement plan is on page 2 under project objectives. I alluded to it earlier. It's project objective number 6. Originally stated comply with mandatory regulatory requirements, and then I just added the language at the end of that sentence that says including implementation of House Bill 2001. So we're just asking, since the CC&I did approve this original community engagement plan and we're incorporating these new concepts now, I think it was wise of Sandy to point out that we should probably make it official through these through the CCI adopting the changes. I will point out that on page 5, I had originally put together this kind of process diagram with boxes, and that in here it talks about this is an example of how it might look, and so it's not solidified that that's how it's going to happen. With integrating the changes we've been talking about, this would change, the dates would be different, but again, I think since this was an example, I didn't feel it necessary to make all the changes to that example. So it won't line up exactly with that, but I think it still is the same flow of process is still basically in place. I think we're just asking for a motion from the CC&I tonight to those revisions to the community engagement plan.
Questions? Commissioner McGill.
Yeah, so since part of this is about holding off to try to recruit more people for the next section, mm-hmm. would you mind just talking for a minute about the value of the TAC for housing and what that's meant and yeah. why it's important or to wait for that and like find people for that?
Yeah, so it has been very valuable having a group of citizens with different interests provide input on the different ideas. We've talked with the TAC for the residential phase about House Bill 2001, but also just more generally about what should the new code look like. The big push with the housing phase has been on clear and objective standards. That's really a focus that won't necessarily be in play as much with the other phases. So we're not required by state law, for instance, for commercial or industrial development to have clear and objective standards. We are for housing. So that's what the whole code audit process up front was about, was identifying where we don't have clear and objective standards. And so now moving forward with trying to write a housing code that does have clear and objective standards, it's been really valuable to have input. One of the elements of clear and objective standards is that the language can only be interpreted one way. Well, it's easy for me to get in my planner brain like, okay, I'm gonna write this and I think that's clear and objective. But then you bounce it off somebody else and they can read it a different way. It helps point out where there still needs to be work. One of the areas that the TAC has discussed and focused on is our site plan review section of our code is required for everything over a duplex in housing today. And so our site plan review section of our code today applies to everything from a triplex all the way up to a commercial industrial complex or something. It spans that whole gamut. So really with the drafting of the new code language, we're talking about what should site plan look like for just housing, separate from the existing site plan process that's kind of in place for everything, especially since it has to be clear and objective. So it's going to be, I think, quite a bit different than the structure is today. You know, there's, I mentioned the group is diverse and has different interests. So there's definitely people that have an interest in seeing things a certain way, but just to have that diversity of thought around how we're trying to move forward has been beneficial. In looking ahead to the commercial, industrial, and I think I call it the employment phase of the project, it will likely be a bit different. I've mentioned it's been tough recruiting. A lot of people, just based on kind of the economy today or whatever, are very busy and haven't necessarily wanted to commit the time to coming in to 2-hour meetings once a month or something like that. We're exploring opportunities on how we might be able to engage advisory committee in a technical way, like via, you know, an online chat room kind of format or some kind of other technological means to hopefully not have to have them come in. I'm not sure we're gonna get there exactly, but we're gonna keep looking into it. There may be other opportunities, I think, with the commercial industrial piece. I think targeting the first of the year is, in my mind, a much better time to try and start reaching out to folks. We originally started reaching out and trying to recruit kind of in the spring and beginning of the summer. And at that point, you know, people were thinking about summer vacations probably, or it's a very busy time of year otherwise. After the first of the year, I think we're past the holiday season. People are thinking, you know, new year, new beginnings. Maybe they're thinking what they want to do for the year and accomplish a goal to be involved in something there, for those types of things. But anyway, I see it as a jumping off point to start recruitment again and hopefully get a better response. Does that answer
your question? Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
If possible, I'd like to, before you do decide to go for recruitment again, as we can get another brief time to explore maybe some new ideas. So, you know, just briefly at a work session or something. Because I know before we came up with ideas for recruitment that maybe we could come up with some different ones or additional ones that might help.
Great, that's helpful. And I'll see if I can get something scheduled this fall or into the beginning of winter about that.
Yeah.
I know I got a request from the city manager's office to draft a letter and kind of an invite letter for the mayor herself to use to personally invite people.
Nice.
So she's very, feels strongly about recruiting for this group as well. And she wanted a letter that she could, you know, customize for individuals that she could personally invite people to be involved. Again, I think because the commercial industrial development is a bit of a different area than the housing, you know, getting the right people, I think, will be important. So having your guys' thoughts and ideas around that would be great.
Commissioner Mose?
Are you past the point in the process where you've determined the format of the code? Because before you came on board, there were all kinds of brainstorms about what the structure of the code would ultimately turn out to be. Mm-hmm. But have you reached a point where that decision is already made?
Well, I am drafting the code, and it's in a format that I developed. And so from that standpoint, I think I've decided it. I don't get to decide. You know, in some of the early work sessions with the city council, I put some examples of formatting types in front of them, and they didn't approve one or necessarily weigh in on one, but conceptually or generally the direction has been kind of the easier to use, more clear and user-friendly formatting. A lot of the formatting I'm using is based on the state's model code for small cities, just in terms of structure. You know, one of the other goals, I think, for the code update project has been to have a shorter code. And given that, it doesn't always make it, I mean, I could cram a bunch of words onto a page and make it really short. It doesn't make it user-friendly. So the format has a lot more white space and indenting, you know, page breaks and diagrams and things. So it's feasible that it could be longer per, say, section, but only longer in page count, really not in content. So some of that has been discussed also in light of wanting to move toward a more like web-based or electronically-based code. So really, if eventually we're moving away from all having big code books, it almost doesn't matter how many pages there are. It's really the ease of use of the content. So really trying to design it in a way that has that ease of use rather than being too concerned about the actual page count in the end. So I don't know if that answers your question. I plan to bring to you some once they're a bit further along, and it'll be happening here in the next 3 months, the drafts of the code prior to it being a public review draft for you to see and comment on. So it's not going to be too much longer that it'll be in front of you.
One of the concepts that I was thinking about is having a code that's in two volumes, with one volume basically being an index, the cross-reference, and the index would simply include everything that is within the code, mm-hmm. with a brief description of what it covers, and then the detail would be a cross-reference to a volume which had all the detail explicitly stated, so there's no nuance to it, and there isn't any possibility of misinterpretation by someone that's not experienced with what the city permits and doesn't permit. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, well, that's a possibility. It wouldn't be beneficial to people that are familiar with the code to begin with, like staff, but for somebody that doesn't know the code, and if they're saying, well, I want to put in a driveway, what are the rules on the driveways? They say, well, here from the index is where I look in the code book in the main volume 2, cross-referenced over to, here's what I want to find out, and it's specifically stated where they can find it easily.
Yeah. And I would envision, you know, again, whether we do that in a paper form or electronic form, definitely I think from an electronic capability standpoint, we'll have that ability to, you know, you can search for the term driveway or something. I'll give you all the areas of the code that talks about driveways or something. The other tricky part of the code in doing it in phases or sections is going to be building a new code as we're deleting sections of the old code. So I talked about the site plan section. So we're going to still have to have the site plan section in the existing code to deal with, you know, commercial industrial development, but also potentially have, say, a new revised site plan section just dealing with housing in the new part of the code. So it's even possible there might be duplicative sections as we transition from the existing to the new, with the idea that once the existing code's all gone and we have all new code, that there may not necessarily be that duplication. That has been one of the other points of conversation, is should we structure the code in a way that is intentionally duplicative? So if you want to build some housing, you don't have to look, so say the parking requirements for housing are all within the housing section, but we have another parking section that deals with commercial industrial. So we have multiple parking sections of the code, where we do put all the parking in one parking section. So then you're flipping back and forth between sections. So
you have to be really careful that the language is the same so that you're not contradicting yourself within the, right. within the same section of the code.
Yeah. We're exploring right now some vendors that can host our online code and the capabilities that we'll have for what our online code looks like for usability and those types of things as well.
Commissioner Gill.
The other cool thing about the online code is that you can make it actually accessible, like for readers and whatnot, which is pretty exciting. And having conversations about that accessibility, it does help with like just structure for anybody when you think about how people have to listen to things and find them in that way. So it might be interesting to ask them about accessibility and how those can match up.
It's a legal requirement that we have to be providing that already. So if we're not providing that through Q code now, we should start before the new code is.
Brenda made a note of that accessibility for our new COVID posting.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you in an email.
Okay.
You asked for it the other day.
I had other people asking for it.
Yeah.
And I have some. I can send you a resource on what that means.
But even if it's like meets the minimum requirements, that doesn't mean that there wouldn't be ways to make it even more accessible.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
There are best practices checklists that include all of the best practices for how to make things accessible to a more than the legally minimal requirement.
And uses of headings is like a really brilliant, useful tool for anybody for structure and layout and following stuff. So there's a lot of interesting, useful guidance in the best practices for that stuff that could be applied for anybody. So.
At this point, I'm ready to do a ask that we approve a change in the project objectives under project objective number 6 to change it to say comply with mandatory regulatory requirements, including implementation of HB 2001.
Second.
Okay. Motion by myself, second by Commissioner McGinley. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Any other further questions, comments?
Can you also
the timeline,
make a motion for the timeline revision as well?
Yeah,
it probably could have been one motion, I don't know, but.
Well, we'll make a second. We'll make a second separate motion to approve the changes in the timeline.
Second.
Okay.
You've got to vote on the one motion before you can make another.
We voted unanimous. Second motion to approve the timeline by me, second by Commissioner Gill. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Two motions where one would have done. Any further discussion, questions?
Thank you.
Great presentation.
Thank you.
I think we're all in support of implementing 2001. And, sounds like everything's going great. Appreciate the update.